Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are thrilled to have in studio with us today Council Member at Large of the Hastings City Council, Dave Pemble, and he is here to talk about the most recent Hastings City Council meeting. So good to see you. How have you been?
Very good. Really busy. We had to start with a council workshop for a couple hours on the PFABs. Water contamination.
And that is pretty typical, isn't it, to have a meeting ahead of your city council meetings?
It's not every meeting, but it's pretty much, and we're getting to have more and more of, you know, okay, there's different things that are coming up in the city. There's the Highway 61 rebuild. There's the water problem. There's the new sewage treatment plant that's coming in a couple of years that's going to make a big difference. Besides the chance at the development in, you know, along 316 and maybe out towards Highway 55 towards the city limits. So we're keeping busy and trying to stay ahead of things and, you know, work for our constituents to make sure that we can make smart decisions as we move forward.
You represent all of Hastings.
That is correct. I'm a councilman at large. There are two of us. The other person is Angie House, and then there is individual folks for each ward, so that there are the four wards, and then there's the mayor and the two council at large. And this coming fall, each individual in each of the four wards is up for re-election. Now, we just appointed Don Verichek to fill Tina's open slot. Congratulations, Tina, on your recent marriage. And those folks will be running this fall for an election. I think it's like November 4th or 5th, something like that. The mayor and myself and Angie are 2 years out.
So. Okay.
But let's get to the city council agenda. Once we had a quorum and we were ready to go, it was about 10 after 7. We proclaimed Arbor Day 2024 in Hastings, which is going to be April 19th. And the Parks Department will be planting trees in Featherstone Ponding Basin. That proclamation was read and approved. And then secondly, we had the new manager for Pleasant Hill Library, Jill Bamanek, and she talked a lot about the coming changes, a lot of different programs that she's instituting there. But the biggest thing she talked about was Pleasant Hill Library will go to a self-service hours. That means 7 days a week, 6 a.m. to 11 p.m., you have to have a separate card to get into the building. You have to be an adult. You have to take a little short program of how to access and deal with those things. But otherwise, it's a come-and-go operation. There are new...
Yeah, I guess they did some test runs at different libraries around the county, and it worked out really well.
Yep. So I think it's a really great idea.
I do, too.
It fits into folks that are busy and maybe can't quite make it during the regular hours, and so that makes a difference. Moving on from there, we approved the minutes from the March 18th meeting. Then we went to the consent agenda. Next, we went on to action, and there was the 2024 neighborhood infrastructure improvements. That's basically the road work that we're doing on the other end of town between Highland and Brittany and that area.
21st and Brook.
That's right.
Yep. It's my neighborhood.
Yeah,
so I'm kind of engaged in it.
So we did get a good interest rate on it at 4.36% for the money borrowed. We came up with a valuation for the property owners of $7,650 for the full street rebuild and $6,750 for the overlay and some water and sewer improvements. Basically, it would stay with, you know, curb to curb would stay in that. It's basically just the overlay and fixing things that are in the street. But the full rebuild is going to be $7,650, and we agreed on that. You can pay it all off once it comes due this fall, or you can put it on your county taxes, and it's a 10-year process. So there are some options for folks that can't afford it. There's a program that you could check with the city, a street department, or public works, and get those applications. Moving on from there, we did approve the purchase plants and the hanging baskets for the downtown area. There's like 52 plants that go in, either hanging on the lights or that they're on the corners in the bigger boxes. So we did approve that. There was some discussion looking at that and saying, I know there's no Hastings Garden Club anymore, and we talked about that, but we thought maybe this is a good project to work in conjunction with District 200 because they have a great program up there. DeWall's got a very...
Horticulture program.
Yep, the horticulture program.
Very robust.
Is very, very good. And so we're going to look at that into that next year. And then we also did approve the maintenance. It's basically from the bridge on the south side to 4th Street. It's in the middle of the roadway, and there's some plantings in there that have been there since, well, there are new plantings every year, but those things cost money, and so we did look at that and agree that we were going to move forward.
How would you go about watering those? It seems like it would be dangerous.
The plants that are put in are more like, you know, grasses that you really are not watering. I know I've seen last year, and you have to forgive me, I don't remember what company actually did the work, if it was local or somebody else, but I did see a few times that they were out there with their truck and kind of sprayed it up and down and went across to the north side of the bridge and then came back through and did it that way. All of the stuff downtown is done with a little 4x4 cart with a tank on the back, and they individuals, you know, just holds the wand up and adds water to the flowers and picks off the dead leaves and things like that. You know, trying to keep the downtown, you know, nice and beautiful for the folks that come in and, you know, want to be part of our community and see what's going on. Then we went on to the bigger issue was the public works, the report. We decided that the PFAS issue in our water system is such a big issue that we are going to, every first meeting of every month, we will dedicate time to bring an updated report on how things are going. Now, to bring people kind of up to speed, in all six of our wells that are operating wells here in Hastings, they are at or just above the limit, current limit for PFAS. But what we're dealing with is OSHA and the EPA and the Minnesota State Health Department are coming out with new, much more restrictive guidelines for this in your water system. And so that means we're going to be having to have treatment plants. Now, you can look at Burnsville, they're looking at putting in one large plant to deal with their whole city. We have opted to look at three smaller plants strategically located around the city to a plant. A would handle two wells, another plant would hold the other two wells, and a third plant would deal with the last two wells.
Is there that much open land in the city?
Well, the one advantage that we have right now is the land that we're looking at, all of that is owned by the city. The land for one of our plants is behind the armory. If folks remember when there used to be a water tower behind the armory, well, the city still owns that pie-shaped chunk of land, and it's big enough to put in this treatment plant. So that's one place. The second location is in Lyons Park next to the pump house on the east side of the park. That's there now, has been there for a number of years. There's room enough to add on there and put the second plant there. The third plant is going to be in the Wallen Addition, kind of by the park area there. There's a lot of space because that's a pretty good sized park as you walk, drive, whatever you want to do, come through it in that park area. So it could be moved around in there. I mean, it's not a small building. It's, 75 by 100 or 110, and they're probably 30 feet high. There, if you happen to drive by St. Paul Park, they have one in place that they've had in place for about a year. It's just up from their city offices where the police and fire are in St. Paul Park. And you just go back about a block kind of towards Catholic Church over there, St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yes.
I think that's what it is. So it's kind of back in there, and there's a park area, and they just built it on the edge of the park area. So that kind of gives you an example of what kind of
what it looks
size
like
and what we're looking at.
And why did they build one?
Because they saw the same issue that we are seeing, but because they're within the East Metro agreement with 3M, it's just like Cottage Grove. Cottage Grove has two temporary plants right now, and they're getting two new bigger plants built. And all of this is by the settlement with 3M and the state of Minnesota. And then the next question is like, okay, how come Hastings isn't there? Because we're so close to the Campbellite facility. Well, when the agreement was made for this, 2018, 2017, something like that, and it was like $800 million, but it was only for this area in East Metro, South Washington County, basically. Hastings has looked and is trying to deal with the Met Council and the folks that control this money, and they haven't come up yet and said, okay, Hastings, you qualify because you're right here. But it's a process we're going through. It's going to take some legal action probably to be dealt with, but we're hopeful that we can get somewhere. But we're talking about right now, currently, our need is $68.9 million. That's for the three plants. They vary in cost from $21 million to $24 million, something like that for the three plants. That's it, the current price. Last spring, we were looking at about $62 million. It's gone up that much, and 68.9, and we're trying to get to be shovel ready and find the money and then say, okay, here, we're ready to go. But as this process evolves, there's going to be numerous municipalities that are probably going to need this money too, besides us. You're looking at situations that's like right down the river or across in a different state, but it's not just in this part of the country. It's in Chicago, there's places in Illinois, New York, California, and it's in the different places in the world too. But to try and get a settlement to pay for this, this is what we're hoping for to start. We need to find that process. So we'll see what's going to happen there, but we're going to continue to have these monthly reviews so folks can have, okay, an understanding and certainly come to the council meeting, either Zoom in or be present there, and you'll have an option to stand up and ask questions. We're going to have this information. We want people to understand that this is a very important process, and we need everybody's support to get this done and moving in the right direction.
So where are you trying to find the money besides legal action?
We've received $50,000 from the Met Council Environmental Services. That's to look at some piping and things like that. We also received a grant of $75,000 from the Department of Health to look at the inventory and the lead and galvanized water lines. But as you move forward, you have to find, okay, where do you find these funding? And it's not that easy to come up with. You're looking and saying, okay, you want to come up with those funds, but the state right now doesn't look like the bonding system or the bonding process that's going to come to a head here at the end of the legislative session does not look like it's going to include any money for us. This is the lawmakers have kind of indicated that you got to put some skin in the game yourself. So, you know, it's like, how do you say we're going down the right path? Well, you look at it and you say, that we've done these things. We've completed a feasibility study. We're looking at the land value of the three locations is approximately $230,000 for that land, which we already own. We have a $3.2 million grant to design the water treatment plants themselves. And then we're continuing to pursue other capital grants, either federal or state. Now, in neither case, everything that's happening has been by some legal action. There's not been outright grants of money coming from the federal or the state government. So it's not an easy situation, but maybe there will be some changes that will make this easier for the citizens of Hastings and the surrounding area. The one last thing I wanted to include in that, part of this process, we've talked to or had talked to the Hastings Vets Home because they're on their own water supply and sewer supply, and they are looking to get hooked up to the city water source. And so in our planning process, we have highlighted two locations that we're going to bring up to their property line access to mainline water supplies for them to hook into. Now, understanding that last year the state of Minnesota gave the Veterans Homes of Minnesota somewhere around 70-some million dollars, and part of that money is to rebuild the Hastings facility. Now, my understanding is that it's going to be a time process where the buildings are coming down and a new, bigger building situation is going to be built in that area. But it's a needed situation, and if that helps us access state funding, because we're going to tie in the Vets Home to our process and our water system, then, you know, we felt it. And I agree, it's the right thing to do. You don't want to not have that situation, you know, just dangling out there in the middle of nowhere.
Well, and it's good we're going to have these monthly updates on this, Dave. So good to see you. We want to thank our guest today, Councilmember-at-Large Dave Pemble. He is with the Hastings City Council. Dave, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that, please?
You could go on the city website and, you know, send me an email. Our email addresses are right there. Or you can also call the number that's on the website. That's my cell phone number, 651-303-2432. It sits there, so it's usually right handy. It's right here, right now, and I'm surprised it hasn't gone off.
So good to see you. Thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.